You're listening to the North Peace Roundtable podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life.
Why do you always get to do the bit?
Well, let's, okay, take two. Corlin, do.
Hello. Thanks for listening.
That's why.
Oh, hi.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Episode 144.
People are going to think that's planned.
What is?
The why do you always get to do the bit thing?
Yeah, like they rehearsed that to try and be funny. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. My name is Andrew. With me as always is Corlin.
Hello, hello.
And Cameron.
Good morning, everyone.
And do you guys think summer's over?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put on a sweater this morning. I'm not working today. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, what? No. You just taking the day off?
I took the week off.
What? Oh, okay. There we go. Chewing your tax dollars at work, folks.
Chewing up time. Yeah.
Just chewing. I'm just killing time. Oh, man. Well, today's episode is brought to you by Corlin not being clear. So I'm just kidding, but not really. We got an email sent in just to clarify something that Corlin did say.
So it was me, yep.
I'm joking, but so in two episodes ago, we were talking about Lady Wisdom, if you remember that in Proverbs, is it 16? Proverbs 16, 17? Wisdom is kind of personified as a, like a person almost. And so we were talking about, you know, all sorts of stuff related to that and different genres in the Bible. And, you know, does it actually mean that, is like wisdom actual a person or is it just like a metaphor and blah, 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 blah. So someone emailed me and said, one, to clarify something Corlin said in podcast 142, Lady Wisdom. In talking about wisdom, Corlin presents, and then I'll let you clarify if this is actually what you meant. This is what was heard. Corlin presents an opposition between a deep truth and a fact. Here's what he said, addressing Andrew and Cameron. What are some tools that clue you guys in when you're reading that maybe this is an illustration of a deep truth instead of just a plain factual fact, like when you're reading a textbook? So then the follow-up question this person sent in was, so first, is a deep truth the same as just a truth? Or is there truth and deep truth and yet even deeper truth? Is this not where a lot of cults go off the rails, positing that they have a deeper truth than the rest of the church? Also, is a fact not a truth? And then this person says, these thoughts are a part of a larger conversation I'm having with myself to figure out something else, and clarifying might help.
Yeah.
So, Corlin, what have you done?
Once again. Said
no, I'm just kidding.
Well, first of all, thanks for listening, because, I mean, the fact that you are listening and catching things that we say that don't quite make sense to you and sending questions about it, that's awesome, because I think in the church we should be comfortable to do that. We should be able to question something somebody says, and as somebody like on the podcast who has a bit of a platform to be able to speak, of course if you have questions about what we say, you should be asking, because you shouldn't just take what we say and run with
touch
it.
Not the Lord's
anointed. Yeah, no, so thank you.
That's
for
really, that's really deep.
Yeah.
It's a wait deep is truth. What you're saying true, or is it like deeply true?
Both.
Okay, continue.
So first of all, I understand the confusion. Sure. Around what I said there. As I was thinking about it when you sent the question to us so that we could prepare, I'll start off by just saying that that's not what was intended to happen when I made that.
Like different levels of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So I was trying to think, because to me, language and communication is really important. So I was trying to think of how else would I communicate the idea that I was trying to communicate in that episode to try and be more clear. And I think the wording that I would use instead would be a profound truth versus a factual truth. Okay. So it's not that you would have something that is true and then something that's like extra true that makes the other thing maybe not quite as true.
Sure.
So the thing that I would compare, when I said like a factual fact in a textbook, it'd be like, well, the paint on your wall is like a cream color. That's just fact.
Sure.
But a more, maybe more profound truth is some of the things that have happened in this office that you know because you've been here and you've shared with different people at different times, right? So it's not as, maybe that's not a great example, but I'll try another one here, because I was trying to think of ways that I could explain this.
Sure.
The story of Jesus walking on water. It's a super fascinating story in the Gospels. Jesus, in the middle of a storm, walks on water and calls Peter out.
Yeah.
And so you could read that story and very, very easily pick out the factual truth elements of that story, right? Jesus walked on water. He calmed the seas once he was in the boat. Like, those are facts.
Yeah, he actually physically did that.
Yes.
Totally.
But then when you study the passage, and if you study ancient Jewish culture and the scriptures, you can see that there is a lot of, like, I can't imagine what the Jews were thinking, what the disciples were thinking in the boat, or anyone who read that story who knows how God calms the waters in the beginning, right? In Genesis, he's hovering over the water and causes land, dry land, to stand out of the water so that humans can walk on it. It's also, water is often seen as something comparable to death, right? Like, within the deep, you go there to die. Like, you can't live out there. And so to see someone who claims to be God walking over the thing that symbolically to them would mean death, as if it doesn't faze him, that's incredibly profound to those people. So it's not that it's a hidden truth, it's that it's profound. There's a depth to it that if you just look surface level, isn't there. But it's not that it's hidden. Like, it's not that it's like a, hey, buy my book to read this and figure it out.
Sure.
It's out there, right? You can
I get what you're saying. So physically, the truth of it is Jesus literally walked on water. That physically happened. But like, the meaning behind it, or the profoundness of it, was that's why all the disciples went, who is this?
Yeah.
Because only God has control over the weather. Like, this is, right? So there was a truth there about the character of Jesus, not just the fact that like, he physically did that, which is awesome still.
So even then, in the context of Proverbs, while we're reading it, we were discussing Lady Wisdom, whether wisdom was actually a female deity, those kinds of things. So factually, it's...
Do you think it depends on like, the type of literature you read, or like the type of like, what genre?
Well, that's actually a really good question.
Because I as I was thinking about it, I'm like, I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying. I think, yeah, maybe it was just confusing, the wording. Yep. But like, so for instance, like, the book of Proverbs, are, what are Proverbs? Proverbs are like these short little sentences, or
that are true most of the time,
that carry a true meaning for your life. So I thought of one. So Proverbs 14:4, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops comes by the strength of the ox. And you're like,
which produces an unclean stable.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Just baseline truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, if I don't have literal oxen in my barn, it'll be clean. There's no poop everywhere. Okay. Yeah. But if I want crops, I need an ox. So then I have to deal with a messy barn. So like, agriculturally, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like, right? If I want to actually have crops, I need oxen, which makes my barn dirty, so I have to clean it. But then, okay, what kind of literature is Proverbs? Well, it's like this wisdom literature. So is there a deeper, truth is not the right word, is there a deeper meaning, right, when it comes to like, hard work and those kind of things? I think so, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what Proverbs is all about. There's, I was trying to find the one about a nagging wife is like dripping water or something like that, but I couldn't find that one.
Or essentially, you know, keep your mouth closed and let those around you assume you're a fool rather than open it and remove all their doubt. But you know what? It's interesting. I think that we struggle with the fact that some things aren't true in the world around us. So I often think of factual truth as like, I'm looking at the stop sign on the corner of the street, and I would argue that's a red stop sign, and you may disagree. And then we live in a society where, well, that's my truth. You know, the way I see that is true. It's like, well, actually that's not. And the deeper meaning, or the universal truth, would be something far more principle based, or something far more life giving. And so I think that there are, when we're describing that, those truths in the Bible, like, just something factual. Like, you don't need to call on the wisdom of the Lord to understand a factual, like a geographical statement or a reference to a clean barn or a dirty barn. Any shepherd in the Old Testament would understand.
Yes, totally.
The baseline factual wording used. But I think what the scripture is calling for is just an understanding that truth that gives life and truth that sustains is something that we should strive for, and call on the wisdom of the Lord to understand that. And I think I was thinking of the New Testament, where, like, you know, so many people's eyes were opened and they understood the gospel. Like, even the disciples themselves, where they walking along with Jesus the entire time, and still, you know, he has to ask, like, who do you think I am? And so it's not like they found this deeper truth that's a void to everyone else. It's like they found true truth that Christ has been offered, and so that which is available to anyone who accepts the gift of salvation. So I think that it's just that differentiation between, like, you know, what did those disciples believe to be true for those first few years? This guy is different. You know, we're going to follow him, but they didn't get it. And so I think that throughout Scripture, we're just being called to, like, just accept it, just get it. And there's nothing further that's hidden, you know?
I think that, like, profound truth or deep truth, whatever you want to call it, I think that it is built on factual things, right? Like, you can't have one without the other.
Society today would argue.
Society would, but I don't know that you can, right? So even you take Jesus's death and resurrection and the fact that Christians believe that, like, we often, I think it's comparable to, if you start digging a hole, not that Christianity is a hole per se, like in the negative sense, but you dig the
careful
hole
with your words now.
Yeah. Oh boy. Follow-up emails. Here we go.
The example that I'm going to give is more to do with the depth of a topic rather than, like, anything else. But if you start digging and the first shovelful is grass and topsoil, you put that to the side. The next level might be some more dirt, maybe not topsoil, but as you go, you're going to find other stuff. So again, it's not, maybe you think that's hidden in the sense.
As you go deeper.
Yeah. Like as you dig deeper. So I think Christianity and Proverbs or any of those things can be like that, right? If you read it, you know, you're doing your morning devotions and you're really tired, you can nick the surface and hit a really good truth.
Yep.
Right. But I think as we meditate on Scripture, those are the things that cause, like, the Holy Spirit will cause those things to become profound, that actually become life changing. Because you can see a stop sign and choose to run it. But when you see a stop sign and understand the reason why it was put there and understand that if you run it, you risk someone else's life if they're in the vicinity, you'll probably stop.
Yeah.
And Christianity is the same way, I think. You can believe that Jesus died, but if you believe that it has no effect on you or anyone else around you, why would you believe?
And I'd argue that we, and I can appreciate the question asker's perspective, that the idea of deeper truth has caused a lot of, like, turmoil with cults. But I believe that we do have, and we have been given, this deeper understanding and truth that, you know, having worked with broken people, which we all have, and that you sit across from someone that says, this is the best I'll ever experience. And in my head, I'm like, my goodness, you have no idea the gift of salvation through Christ. And so would that be a different truth? Absolutely. Because the truth that they have for their lives and that the trajectory that they see is so dark and terrible sometimes that you just almost want to share with them, like, there is something else. And it's, so it can get super weird, but the reality is you worked in it, like you do that every week with folks who are stuck with a full understanding in their own minds, and you almost feel grief for them, like you just need to, you know, break free from that. And is that a deeper truth? I think it's not my deeper truth. It's just something I've experienced through the gift and salvation through Christ. So we get caught in words, and it's not trying to be weird, but I don't know. Far too often, there's just folks who are not walking in what's true.
Yeah.
But it's true to them. It's a reality. They feel like that is the truth of their scenario, and they'll never break free from it. And our prayer is that they do.
So you're not saying that then that's, like, actually true. Like, that's true for them. I think that gets tricky because...
And maybe that's that profound universal truth that the Bible offers us, is that for humanity, you know, the reality that Christ died for all is true. And we understand that fully, and many folks don't.
Yep.
And so would that mean we have a deeper truth? No, maybe a different truth. Maybe the truth?
Is what you're saying... that an individual's understanding outside of Christianity would be true for them in as far as what they can understand? Is that what you're...
We see that we see that in the Bible of like, again, the disciples not fully understanding what the meaning of Jesus was for the first while. And so, so I don't think it's, yeah, maybe like all these deeper, profound, they don't matter. Like maybe the truth is truly what the gospel provides. Mm-hmm. And everything else is a facade. Everything else is essentially a lie.
Yeah.
But we have to appreciate that these folks stuck in that lie are caught in their own contorted truth.
Sure.
And we don't, we shouldn't present that as, you know, we have a different truth. We should present that as we have the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
That's free and available to all. And the truth you think you're living in is a dangerous lie. And you mm-hmm. know, presenting that like that is really harmful for someone who thinks that their reality is just that, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that there's risk in, like, because from my perspective and my understanding, to, like, especially in our culture, when there's people that would say that they believe certain truths, we've talked about different individuals on the podcast, like Brandon Robinson, I believe his name is, that pastor in the States, who would say his truth is that, you know, Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave because he was LGBTQ plus.
Sure.
And that's the truth. So, like, would you say that, like, I guess what I'm asking is, like, is that true then because he believes it, or is it not true? And because he believes it to be true, we can navigate that and kind of like what Paul did with the unknown God, be like, hey, you believe this, but I know who that unknown God is, kind of scenario where like they already have a belief system, but because of what Jesus has done, we can enter into that space confidently with the truth. Or maybe I'm just misunderstanding what you're trying to say.
That's the tension that we have to be comfortable with, is that like in that moment a couple weeks ago, you said, you know, there's a deeper truth.
Yeah.
Which I believe because, and maybe we just have to reframe it in society, but like, even throughout scripture, like when people were acting a certain way or they just believed they were true, they believed they were right. And somehow the gospel was trying to show them like that, that wasn't true. Okay. And I think that we live in that tension. So do we have a deeper truth, a profound truth, the real truth, the only truth, like however you want to define it, it is the truth of the gospel. But you know, we have to navigate the fact that the folks around us believe they're right also, and that they're walking in truth for themselves. And I think when we evangelize or when we are just in relationship with people, we're trying to show them the fullness of what, you know, life was designed to be through Christ. I don't know. I'm just kind of wrestling that with in my own mind at the moment where
I think you're saying like not that that everyone's truth is necessarily true.
You're just talking about them. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you're just talking about how we interact with people who have, so like a Brandon Robertson who says stuff like that, how I interact with them showing grace, but saying like what you believe is not true.
Yeah. Cause this is what,
but I'm not going to smash your face into it and be like, you know, it's like,
so we are walking around with like a sense of what the gospel truth is. And to some, it may be like, oh, yeah, and I guess this question is probably formed in the Christian context where amongst evangelical Bible-believing Christians, we have this varying degrees, and that's not accurate.
Sure.
But yeah, as Corlin was speaking, I was reflecting, like, there's factual truth that it doesn't matter if you call on wisdom to use. Like, it's just one of those, you know, in the Old Testament where they're talking about a geographical...
Okay, maybe I'll explain. I think what you're saying is, okay, so we have the truth, which is the gospel. But we have people in our church that believe the true thing about spiritual gifts, the miraculous gifts, is they don't exist anymore. And then we have people in our congregation who believe the truth about spiritual gifts is that they all exist. So is that where you're kind of getting at? That there's different... They both really believe that they're right.
That is certainly a challenge.
I think what I'm understanding you to get at is like meeting someone, even change the scenario again. Meeting someone in addiction who believes that they are doing no wrong, right? To them, they don't understand. They don't see. To them, they are living their life the way that they see that they should.
No, I think it's almost like I'm worthless. I have zero value. I'll die in my addiction. And then it's like, that's not true, man. Like you have, like there's so much more available to you in a life in Christ. But the reality of their situation and their truth is that I'm worthless and I'm going to die in my addiction.
So, but in their perception, it is true that whatever they believe in their perception, not meaning that it is true in the scale of the cosmos. It's just true in their perception.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's two camps. There's that. And then there is the, in the church.
Sure. How challenge. Do we navigate things that we think are true that other people think are not true? Right. So I think when we talk about, like, is there absolute moral truth? Yes. Right. Murder is wrong. Adultery is wrong.
Yeah.
Jesus is God. All those kind of.
You actually spoke about that last Sunday, I think.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Even if you would say, oh, there's no truth is relative. I just think, like, the way we live our lives deny that fact, because we all know killing someone is wrong, and it that would be an absolute truth. But then I think there's things that people hold as true that other people would go, I don't know about that. Like, you know, based on our interpretation of the Bible. Now, I don't think that all of a sudden that means like, oh, what is truth? No one can know what truth is.
No.
No, I think then there's convictions that you have over certain things that other people don't share that conviction, but it doesn't change reality and who Jesus is and what he's done and all those kind of things.
So like, if there's the absolute moral truth, then why do you think we're called to like pray for wisdom when we're navigating some of that?
Yeah.
Because it implies that not everything is as you see it.
Sure.
So there is this deep moral ingrained truth that's been written on the code of who we are as human beings.
Yeah.
But then we're called and implored to like strive after wisdom and to operate in that way. And so.
And I had a thought, maybe, Corlin, what you were saying about maybe like the words we're using are more confusing because truth in our culture is so. I'm just reminded of the Olympics and this whole debacle over. You know, a male who's fighting in the female boxing category. And that you talk about truth. It was just kind of like, no, because of this, that person's actually a female. No, because of this, or is he a male? And, oh, they have XY chromosomes, which biologically makes you a male. Well, that doesn't really matter. That's not true. It doesn't actually make you, right? So we're all confused about, so maybe the language of like truth and deeper truth is confusing. I think biblically, maybe it's about like knowledge and wisdom.
Those are good words for it.
Because like there's knowledge, which is like that stop sign is red and it means stop. And then there's wisdom of what you were saying, like why?
I should stop.
Why should I stop at this stop sign? So there's knowledge from the Bible. Jesus walked on water. I know that to be a fact. But then the wisdom behind it is why did he do that? And what truth was he demonstrating to his disciples when he did that?
And even like, then, because wisdom is... wisdom is something that God gives us that is not passive. Wisdom is an active ingredient in a Christian's life, right? So you should be walking out what then you know.
Yeah. So right? Even I'll give you an example that we've dealt with lots of times. Like knowledge, the Bible says God hates divorce. But then you have a wife come who's being abused by her husband. Oh, we need wisdom in this situation to know, like, how do we protect this woman? How do we, you know what I mean? Like, so there is the fact that divorce is not God's plan and he hates it. Like he wants husbands and wives to stay together, but it would be foolish to send a battered woman back to her husband and say, sorry, God hates divorce. That would be foolishness.
Yeah. Knowledge rests on the fact that you're in covenant, and wisdom reminds us that covenant is an active ingredient by both parties. That's an ongoing love relationship that if broken has immense consequences. So in your boxing analogy, I think the knowledge could be that as Christians, we look at that scenario and we think that person believes they're a woman. That's deeply disturbing. And wisdom might suggest, my God, they need to experience, Christ in their life to reveal to them the deep damaging sin that so they're living in.
Yeah. So I think, this person asks, is there a difference just between facts and truths? And I would say no. Like a fact is true and, you know, truth is a fact. But I think what we're getting in biblically is when it talks about this kind of it's not even a difference. It's just there is knowledge and then there's just wisdom. And wisdom is almost like how do then we like apply this knowledge? Wisdom is knowledge applied almost.
Yeah.
So there is something, you read Proverbs and it's like, you know, if you don't have an ox, you can't okay, that's just knowledge.
Yeah.
My but barn will.
The, yeah.
But then the wisdom in that is like, in order for me to provide for my family, I need to have oxen to plow my fields, and then my barns are going to be dirty. Okay, so then yeah, I got to clean my barn. Like, there's.
I think a good example, one of the ones that struck me, not that long ago, was based on the pattern of humans seeing things that are not theirs for the taking and taking them. There's a pattern throughout scripture of those things. So it starts in Genesis with Adam and Eve. God gives them a wonderful garden to tend, to take care of, but he gives them one tree and says, don't take from that tree. So you stop there and you say you have a fact, right?
Yeah.
All the trees are good, all of them, but don't take from this one. In that day, you'll surely die. And so you have base fact right there. Yep. Base fact, Adam and Eve took from the tree and they died. So you could leave it there. But then you have a repetition of that story that happens over and over again. You see Abraham and Sarah who can't conceive and on their own terms decide they see their Egyptian slave, Hagar, and say, you know what, maybe this would be good to do it this way instead, after God has already made them a promise. So they see her and they take her for their own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible what happens to Hagar. Then you see a story like David and Bathsheba. You have a king over Israel, a man after God's own heart, and he sees a woman who is not his and takes her for his own.
Yep.
And horrible things happen afterwards. And so then you see Jesus get tempted. After 40 days of fasting, Satan comes to him and tempts him with everything, symbolically everything that a human could want in this world.
Sure.
And Jesus, instead of seeing those things, which are already his, but seeing those things, instead of saying, ah, yes, I'm going to take these on my own terms, he says, no, get away from me, right? Be gone. Or in the garden, when he stops and he prays and asks God if there's any other way, I'm paraphrasing, but if there's any other way, let that happen, but not my will be done, your will be done. So instead of taking an opportunity to use the power that he has to switch what God has ordained, he allows God's will to be used. So you take a truth like that. There's factual events that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You could leave it there. And they're cool. They're interesting stories. I think when it turns to wisdom and turns profound is when scripture becomes a mirror for us. Not that we insert ourselves into those stories, but that we can look at those stories and say, man, I see a lot of things in my life that my neighbor has, that God has not given me, that is not a bad thing,
yep,
but that I want to take for myself. And it turns to death every time. So an example for me in my life, just getting really personal, is I took a step back from the podcast a while ago because I had started struggling with pornography again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prime example. God has given me a wonderful, wonderful family. Praise the Lord. And I saw something or someone that was not my own for the taking. Mm-hmm. And I chose to take that. And the death that brings in your family when you make those decisions is profound.
Mm-hmm.
There's factual actions that have happened. But when you start to think of your actions and start to realize the truth of scripture is not just the truth as in the stories are true themselves, mm-hmm. but the truth is in like the principles and the driving force behind those stories and behind God and behind humanity. That I think is what I'm getting at with mm-hmm. profound truth and what we're getting at with wisdom, right? It's one thing to see a story and say that happened. It's another to see that story and recognize that it helps flesh out your view of humanity and who God is.
Sure. Yeah. And I think this person who sent the question in makes a good point. Like many cults begin with the idea that like, ooh, I have like a secret hidden truth that you guys don't know.
Yeah.
And, but that's different than what we're talking about. When we talk about wisdom, we're not talking about, hey guys, I have this like super secret. I mean, that was Gnosticism years ago in the early church. It was like, there's truth, but then there's like,
super truth.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it didn't even make the Bible.
Essentially, there's truth, but then there's this hidden secret truth
that God has given only me.
So, you know, Joseph Smith comes along and he says, oh yeah, the Bible's true for sure.
So for those of you who don't know Joseph
Smith, Mormonism. But he says, the Bible's true for sure, but God revealed to me like a new truth, like a hidden truth on these gold plates that only I can read. And it's about how there was a lost tribe of Israel that came to America and Jesus came and blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, Jesus is a created being and he's Satan's brother and all these things that you go, that's just like a denial of the truth, but it's, and every cult, every offshoot of Christianity is that, hey, yeah. Jesus, the Bible, for sure. But also.
So I think in my experience, and these can be tough to distinguish when you're in the moment. From what I've understood in the small amounts of research I've done about cults, no one ever really joins a cult being like, this is a cult. I want to join. Most people are suckered into it, not understanding it.
Totally.
But generally speaking, an underlying theme in cults when the, their leaders present truths is that it's beneficial to the leader. That truth is beneficial to the leader, and he'll present it as beneficial to you. But when you, if you can follow the trails of thought that he's giving or with quotation marks truth, it will always be beneficial to the leader and hardly anyone else.
It's interesting to think on this topic when we get into the New Testament and discernment becomes a spiritual gift. And now we have wisdom, knowledge, and then this gift of discernment to unpack the wisdom that is available to all, that is truth to all. But then be actually gifted in the ability to, and maybe that's the inner church conflict between, like you said, you know, spiritual gifts, non-spiritual gifts, and that person who's responsible. You know, I think back all the way to like Abraham's role with the tribes. It's like, come to me and I'll, you Moses. Know, I'll process it and I'll have to discern.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's a really interesting.
Well, you read the history of all the church councils. That's exactly that what they were. You know, who is the person of Jesus? And then you have all of these heresies that were trying to creep into the church. Well, maybe Jesus wasn't God when he was on earth. And then they got to wrestle with what Jesus revealed to the apostles and what we have in scripture. And okay, that's not true, right? This guy is trying to figure out the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
And these councils were like, okay, that is actually not true though. Mm-hmm. But they were using...
Yeah.
Discernment, right? Okay. And
Jesus. And a balance of probabilities by all the accounts and reading through the scripture and the text.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how we come to the doctrine of the Trinity. That's how we come to the hypostatic union, which is where Jesus can be fully God and fully man. They wrestled through all of these things with much wisdom given by the Spirit to go, how do we explain who Jesus is? But there were lots of explanations that the early church said, that's actually not true. Mm-hmm. You can't teach that because it's a denial of reality, like the truth of the reality. So all that to say too, I think when you read the Bible, we read for knowledge. We want to know more about who Jesus is and who God is and what he's done and who we are. But then we read too, because we want wisdom and how to like live our everyday lives.
Yeah.
But I think there's just different books of the Bible. You do that differently, right? So you read Proverbs and I'm like, I don't have oxen. I don't have a barn. Yeah. Like what? But, and then I think, well, what's the wisdom in that?
Yeah.
Well, it's about working hard and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. I just recently watched, there's a YouTube channel that I follow that does sermon reviews. And there was, I can't remember the preacher, but basically was on in Acts 27 when Paul is on a boat and he's got a plan and a purpose, but then the strong winds were against them. And then it was like, have you ever felt when there were strong winds against you? And it's like, okay, time out. Acts is just a historical account of what happened. So I don't think when Luke writes, oh yeah, we were sailing and then strong winds were against us. P.S. There's a deeper truth here about the strong winds in your life. It's like, no, he just says, this is what happened, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you read Revelation and people are like, well, it's a fact. The mark of the beast is 666 on your wrist and on your head. Okay, but it's apocalyptic literature. So if you have a credit card that happens to have 3 sixes in it, don't freak out. I think that you're missing the point.
Yeah.
The wisdom behind it is if ever you're being told to do something to bow the knee to Caesar, as a Christian, we can't do that. And if you do, then you're taking the mark, right? Like, so it's just learning different genres of the Bible and how do you find wisdom in them. And I think, you know, poetry, historical narrative, all these different types of genres, you arrive there differently.
So yeah, this is a question that I've wrestled with in the last couple of years, because I remember I was just doing some research outside of like what words should I use here, trying to make sure I choose carefully. just reading some different Christian perspectives on even just Genesis, for one.
Blasphemy.
And I remember as I was reading, I started asking myself, okay, so like what, if there's so many different ideas, interpretations of things, and I don't mean that in the sense of like interpretations as in like the legitimate wrong ones where you go to the LDS or you go sure. to like those extremes. But even so, like, for example, the gifts and stuff like that. So what is truth in those scenarios, right? Yep. And I think that there's, again, I keep coming to the conclusion that it can't be anything, but if God is who he says he is, Jesus is who he says he is and did what he said he did, and humanity is the way scripture defines us, there's a lot of room to work through your own salvation with fear and trembling within those things,
sure.
right? But that doesn't mean that there isn't a line of truth throughout everything, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the gifts in the church, I think we can operate, we should operate well with others who don't believe the exact same thing. I mean, even in this room, I'm sure there's elements of scripture that we understand differently.
Yeah, I think the truth about spiritual gifts is that God gives gifts to his church. There's yes. the baseline truth.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
which ones, well, for how long, do that? Okay, yeah, we can argue about that stuff. That's great.
Because
yeah.
everything has to be held in light of the characteristics of God. And if sure. it conflicts with any element of the characteristic, then it's arguably...
Exactly.
So even, okay, not. So Genesis, the baseline truth is God created everything in the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
And then I have friends that are like, was it 6 literal days? Were there epochs there? Yep. Is there a gap between Genesis 1 and 2?
Some Christians find that it has to be or yeah. else you don't believe. And I would argue that it wouldn't have to be. If you believe that God created everything
yep.
and he is creator God, then you've hit the point. Yeah.
I've actually liked playing around and talking to folks who just on like the young earth, but still a young earth at a few million, like not a 2000 year or a 2,000 year sure. old earth, but yeah, we don't have that beautiful. And on this date in Genesis,
yeah.
And on this date in Genesis, so I love saying, could there be 5 million years in between some of there? Like, could there be time? And just stories and maybe like that's kind yeah. of cool to think about. I don't think it's 200 million years old because I love, yeah, those creation scientists that say like it's not a 200 million year old Earth.
But yes.
Could it be a 10 million? Maybe. Like, could it be a 5?
Right.
Possibly, which is just exciting to think about, you know, because I've often thought like dinosaurs were real, right? Like all of these things throughout scripture that they just touch on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just.
You've never seen that painting of Jesus riding a dinosaur? That's right. Holding an American flag.
So
why'd you give me such little arms?
So I think you can, I think there are times where a person can start freaking out of like, oh my goodness, like what is the truth here and stuff. And I think that it's actually one of the beautiful elements of how God has created humanity is that we have that element of free will where he's blessed us with the ability to have our own minds, where we are thinking through things, mm-hmm. right? Like that's actually a gift. And so to listen to other believers when it comes to truth about the Bible, I think can be incredibly beneficial to mm-hmm. flesh out that position. So we often say on the podcast, you know, if you go to any extreme, something's probably wrong, right? Yep. So like no matter the topic, if you're on the absolute extreme of it, it's probably going to get weird
yep.
and not in a good way. If you can set yourself somewhere into the middle of it, there's probably going to be a lot of truth from both sides. So we've said the quote, or I've said the quote before, we're paraphrasing it, but the opposite of a profound truth is not necessarily a non-truth. It can be another profound truth, right?
Whoa,
oh, you're going to have another question coming in. Yeah.
I am. That's okay. It's job security, man.
That's right.
So the opposite of a profound truth is another profound truth. Doesn't that just make truth relative?
No, I disagree. So if you think...
Profound truth is there's male and female, but yes. the opposite of that is that gender is a spectrum. That's also true?
Disagree.
Okay, so explain yourself.
So what I mean...
We'll just do it now.
I understand where you're coming sure. from with that.
Yep.
Absolutely. So probably best that I do. when we're speaking of factual truth, there is black and white.
Sure.
When I say profound truth, though, that's a difference, right? A profound truth... is not that stop sign is red, but the opposite would be that stop sign is also green, right? That not true because it's based off of fact. When I say profound truth, I mean when it comes to like, have you heard what's a...
Yeah, you give us an example of a profound truth that its opposite is also true.
Yeah, so...
that would be helpful.
I can't think of the name of the paradox of the ship. You have a ship, it's been built, it runs its course, and over time repairs are done to that ship. But that ship's name stays the same, the captain, the crew stays the same, but over time you've replaced every board on that ship. Is it the same ship or is it a different ship now?
I get you.
You could argue both. You absolutely could.
Sure.
So that's a practical, or not practical, but like a maybe a worldly example of that.
Sure.
But you take, okay, we'll go biblical with it. Jesus is God. True. Jesus is man. Also true. But somehow we don't understand that because we're human. So we would think, a lot of people like to think that the opposite, like the... Jesus being God would mean that he cannot be fully man.
But sure. That keeps both profound truths profoundly true.
Exactly.
Dude.
But it doesn't move from one profound truth to another.
No.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm this with you, like, man. You guys are you. Laughing, but like,
No, but it just reminds me when you were like, you know, the Western thing that your brain, that would... Your wife was like, don't get him started on the old
that's
West.
Not,
How's the old West old when it was new, when it was... That's why I'm laughing. Not because I don't agree with you. I get what you're saying. I just think it's the language that you're using is confusing, probably. Because I think that our culture would say, you're right, two things that are... opposites can all be true. Your truth, my truth, we're all true.
So
that's where I'm like, people might hear a truth and then the opposite is also true, because then that's where our culture is right now.
So that's
a woman can be a man can be a woman. Yeah. They're both true. And it's like,
And that's where I think I really try to differentiate. Like, anytime I've spoken with someone, I have to in my mind tell myself that what they believe is their absolute truth. So the way that you tackle that conversation is not by hitting them over the head saying you're wrong, you're stuck in lines, your life is a facade, because that's not helpful, right? Coming alongside them and, like you referenced, the idol to the unknown God, it wasn't done, you know, aggressively or violently. It was done in true, genuine desire to see someone free.
Yep. So I didn't mean to laugh. I know what you're saying, because you look at, okay, how can one person be fully God and fully man? Those seem like
complete opposites,
and yet Jesus is both at the same time.
There's actually a really good book that unpacks that. It's called The Shack.
Oh my gosh.
I'm joking.
Was a joke.
Hey, was ever true for you, man? Yeah, totally.
So I think that you're not wrong, Andrew.
I do not.
Choosing language that we use to describe stuff is really important, but I think that that's why, like, anyone listening to the podcast, and I mean, there's other people out there that maybe they'll listen, but it is important to be clear. There are factual truths that you can't have another profound opposite be.
Sure.
Right. Like, so when you speak of genders, right? No, there are two genders.
Yes.
There is not a,
me as a man, I cannot get pregnant. Yes. That is factually impossible.
And the opposite profound truth would be that your wife is a woman and she can get pregnant.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. So I get what you're saying, that there's certain things. And I mean, Christianity has a bunch of those types of things.
Yeah. Right? So that's what I'm getting at. When we're talking of profound truth, I'm not trying to create any kind of gray area when it comes to.
Sure.
You know, like I said, straight line through all of history and creation truths. I'm speaking of like the things that we wrestle with at night when we're thinking of God, when we're thinking of Christianity, right? So even navigating things with wisdom, Aaron and I have often talked about how, you know, with certain people, you might handle the same situation differently, depending on who that is. Does that mean that the truth in that situation is not the same then? Well, no.
Right.
But again, depending on how you, like what the individuals believe, what their background is, what's happened to them, you're probably going to approach that differently.
Sure.
And I would argue that that's profound, to be able to, in human relationship, do that very thing where we can navigate with wisdom and expose the truth, reveal the truth, right? So that people can see.
I think the most simple way to maybe close off the idea is that if you're presented a truth that's biblical, but it's not found in the Bible, you could, you know, you know, there's no fresh wind, there's no fresh revelation. We've been given the fullness of the truth that we need to pursue sanctification and righteous living. There's no hidden, there's no appendix that we're missing from our Bible.
There is no hidden truth.
Yeah.
There's just deeper wisdom as you study the word and learn and grow.
Yeah.
And that's why I've talked with people who are like, oh man, like I never saw it that way. It doesn't mean that it's a new truth. It just means that they're growing in wisdom.
Your understanding of it is being fleshed out.
Totally.
It's like when my kids read the Bible, they'll just have a simple question and it's kind of fun because I'll have to think about it again. No, that's, you know, Sasha was reading through Genesis during the service. I'm like, bro, don't start.
Or even like, I remember Lucy came home once and was like, so when we go to heaven, we all become babies again? And it was like, what? And it was Jesus saying, you have to be born again to enter the kingdom. And for her, that's like, so we're all babies in heaven, right? And it's like, no.
Well, even Nicodemus, same question.
Yeah. Right? So I go back in my mother's womb. But like for her, it was, oh, interesting.
It's actually a perfect example of what we're talking about. Totally. You nick the surface and you're like, what?
Yeah, I have to be a baby.
It's like when my kids ask me, is their cat going to be in heaven? Nope.
Nope.
I'm kidding, listeners.
Will Coco be there? Probably not.
I think I just said, we'll see.
We'll see.
It was still a little too fresh.
Well, I told my kids that our pets don't have souls. And they were like, what? Yeah. I'm like, do you really think Coco stares up at the moon wondering about the meaning of life? Yes. I'm like, I don't think he does.
No, anyways, he's waiting for dinner.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. Let's do another episode about animals.
All dogs
don't go to heaven. Oh, my goodness.
Is that a new book you're writing? Or is that...
That's a movie. You never saw that?
No. It's a short.
It's a great movie. Tugs at your heartstrings. All dogs don't go to heaven. Terrible. All dogs do not go to heaven. Sorry, kids. Anyways, we should probably end before we say get more emails. But hopefully that's helpful and an enjoyable discussion. And hopefully we cleared up some of the confusion, perhaps. And just remember, the opposite of a truth is also true. I had to.
Now you're putting words in my mouth.
Profoundly.
Profoundly, man. Anyways, episode 144. Thanks for listening. Send us in your questions. Talk to you next time.